Well, just looking at events last week, there wasn't much in terms of data out in the United States, but there's plenty of announcements keep coming. Yeah, amongst them, more announcements about tariffs. And, you know, we heard late last week going into the weekend that, that one of the letters or two of the letters that have gone out, you know, are going to deliver, 30% tariffs to the EU and also to Brazil, and there are many others that went out as well. So, all that information that we got going back to the post board that President Trump put up at the beginning of April about tariffs, some of that's now starting to come into effect. And it's important about the timing of this because these tariffs don't come into effect till the very beginning of August. And so we've all been waiting to see what sort of impact this might have on US inflation and also US economic growth. Well, a lot of it's still ahead of us, and that's the problem. So we're trying to assess exactly what's going to be happening. And the data last week really don't help us very much because, we had things like May consumer credit came out, a little bit of an easing back on that, but not much. Still up by $5 billion US dollars just in the past month. And we also had initial jobless claims the most recent week. Whilst there's some evidence that at the margin the US labour market's starting to ease a bit, it's not actually showing in the initial jobless claims. They actually improved last week and came down to 227,000 from 232,000. So, that's still indicating relatively strong growth running through non-farm payrolls when we get the data going into the beginning part of next month. This week in the US, we do get a lot more data to focus on, and some of it's key. So, for example, we get things like the June CPI comes out on Tuesday, and it looks as if this will be edging up a little bit. The market thinks that both the headline CPI and the core CPI readings will be up 0.3% month on month, both of them. And as a result of that, the annual headline inflation rate will actually lift from 2.4% to 2.6%. The core CPI, it was 0.1, 2.8% year on year. That would be 2.8, 2.9, probably edging up a little bit with the reading that comes out on Tuesday as well. So we've got this stickiness in US inflation already, ahead of all the problems that we're going to be facing further down the track. And that's one of the issues which is keeping the Fed on hold. And of course, there were more comments from the president last week about what he'd like to do to the Fed governor. He wants the Fed governor to resign. The Fed governor won't be doing that. And whilst we have the current Fed governor, the Fed is going to be taking a cautious approach to what it needs to do with interest rates. If at some point we got a sharp deterioration in US economic activity, yes, at that point, the Fed's going to get back into cutting mode again. But whilst we're in this sort of period where growth is sort of holding together and inflation's sticky, the Fed's going to be very, very cautious, and it's going to be a thorn in the side to the president. And so we are going to get these issues arising from time to time. Some of the other data which will be coming out this week, we get retail sales coming out as well. These have been a little bit weaker running through the second quarter. Going back to May, retail sales were down 0.9%, and they're expected to be flat for the month of June. Core retail sales were down 0.3%. Going back to May and are expected to lift by 0.3%, so you're going fairly much sideways on those. We get industrial production data coming out, and we get a fair bit of housing data coming out of the US as well. We get the National Association of Home Builders Index for the latest month. That's expected to improve to 33 from 32. We also get some building permits, housing data coming out, and right at the end of the week, we get consumer sentiment. Interestingly, consumer sentiment's just been improving a little bit in the last month or two. Going back to June, we were up to 60.7. We were down around the 53 mark going back before that. The preliminary reading for July is expected to come in around about 61.5, so a further small improvement running through there. Now, just moving to other places, and China, very much in the news this week, because obviously our Prime Minister's there trying to build trading relationships largely with China, and of course causing some angst with our US ally at the same time. But in terms of the data that's come through in China last week, we had the June Consumer Price Index and Producer Price Index. You know, these are still very weak and are still indicative of an economy with a lot of excess capacity. So the June CPI was down 0.1% month-on-month. It was down 0.2% month-on-month the month before. That just held the year-on-year change at plus 0.1%, so barely any change in prices on an annual basis. But producer prices, they deteriorated to minus 3.6% year-on-year from minus 3.3% year-on-year going back to the month of May. So you know, obviously factories, they're finding it hard to get their product out because the domestic market is still pretty subdued. Retail sales, whilst they're better than they were, not great in China. And, of course, the overseas market is now being somewhat constrained. So, that's somewhat problematic for China. Early this week, we'll see June export and import data. Exports probably go sideways. They were plus 4.8% year-on-year, and they had been decelerating from nearer to 10% a few months ago, so expecting to see it maybe holding around that level. Imports, maybe a little bit of improvement there. Market thinks 1.3% year-on-year, up from minus 3.4% going back the month before. And then moving into the middle part of the week, we get the big run of data, including Q2 GDP. GDP still, the market thinks it's okay. It's probably up 1%, but that would bring the annual rate of change down to 5.1% year-on-year from 5.4%. But if we continue getting ones and less over the remaining quarters this year, obviously we're going to be tracking below the 5% that the authorities want to see there for this calendar year. We'll get all the run of June data as well, and it all looks as if it's treading water, in some cases actually deteriorating a little bit. So, for example, June fixed asset investment spending is expected to moderate to 3.6% from 3.7%. June industrial production probably down to 5.6% from 5.8%. Having said that, we've got, with the trade negotiations sort of going, or the prime head-to-head negotiations going on between the leaders, our leader and the Chinese leader in China, and China trying to sort of keep us fairly much sort of neutral. We are seeing just some pressure back into things like iron ore prices, so just some improvement just running through there. But June retail sales, they're expected to come down to 5.2% year-on-year from 6.4% going back the month before. And house prices still declining year-on-year, not as badly as they were. Last month they were down 3.5% year-on-year. They'll probably be down nearer to 3% year-on-year when we get that figure coming out. And the unemployment rate in China is just steady at 5%. Moving to Australia, and last week, quite interesting, well, it's very interesting really. Early in the week, we had ANZ job ads. They actually lifted by 1.8% month on month after being down only 0.6% the month before. They're actually still at a pretty elevated level. It's still indicative of a pretty tight labour market. We had the June NAB Business Conditions and Business Confidence Survey, and these improved quite strongly. So in June, NAB Business Conditions went from zero on that diffusion index to plus 9, and business confidence went from plus 2 to plus 5. Then we had the July RBA policy meeting, and of course it surprised just about everybody, including us. They left the cash rate unchanged at 3.85%, and it did beg the question, what's going on here? Because if you went back to their previous meeting, they admitted that they discussed whether they shouldn't have dropped the rate by 50 basis points rather than 25 basis points they delivered. So that automatically meant that everybody thought, they're on a pretty dovish path with rates. Then we had some fairly soft economic data came out through much of the month. We also had the monthly inflation reading, which appeared to be very much in line with their expectation that, you know, inflation in the near term is going to get well and truly inside the middle of their 2 to 3% band. Well, they're not so confident, and that was a bit surprising. Basically, on the inflation, that they saw some elements of that monthly inflation reading, which, whilst they expect that the quarterly inflation reading, when it comes out at the end of this month, will confirm that they're coming back inside target band, they just want to be certain about that. And it was interesting, the caution that came through. We also, for the first time, got the vote in the meeting, and the very next day, the terms and conditions of the new agreement between the Treasurer and the RBA came out. And one of those changes is that we get non-attributed voting from the members that's going to come out each meeting now. So the vote in favour of leaving the cash rate unchanged was 6, and the vote for a rate cut was 3. So, yeah, there were some who wanted to cut rates, but they're still very much overwhelmed on that board by those who prefer to leave things unchanged for the time being. And what it does, it puts a lot of pressure onto the Q2 CPI. It needs to come in consistent with inflation coming down with the Reserve Bank's target, and it probably will. So it still means that August is a live meeting for a rate cut, but, you know, there's some uncertainty in this now. And the other part that's worrying the RBA is that they, like the rest of us, are finding, you know, the ever-changing conditions internationally and what they mean for growth and inflation very, very challenging. And so, you know, that's the other part that's making them more cautious in terms of the way that rates come down. I think what this means is that whilst we didn't get the rate cut call right, what we have been saying is that the market's wrong to think that the RBA is just going to go cutting away, you know, another 3-4 times over the course of next year. It's much more likely they're going to do, you know, 1 or 2 and then come to a pause. And, you know, that meeting was very much in line with that sort of thinking. So I think something which is probably coming into play. This week in Australia, we get July Westpac consumer sentiment. Consumer sentiment's been showing some improvement of late, and it'll be interesting to see whether it goes further. In June, consumer sentiment lifted by 0.5%, probably another small gain coming out on Wednesday. Then on Thursday, we had the latest labour force data, and that was another thing that the RBA mentioned in the statement and also in the governor's press conference. Labour market's still pretty tight here, and wage growth is running, you know, above 3%, and is likely to stay above 3%. And unit labour costs are actually rising here because we've still got a problem with productivity. And so that's the other niggle they've got, that, you know, you've got this still very, very tight labour market. And whilst for the time being, you know, people aren't spending up a storm, you know, they could turn towards that. And that's a risk which lies there ahead. In some ways, it's a good risk because it means that the economy is growing stronger. But the problem is, if we're not producing that well, it becomes inflationary. And so that's the other issue, which is just there at the back of the Reserve Bank's mind, and means that they can be very cautious in the way in which they cut rates going out from here. But the labour force data this week here, employment actually fell last month by 2,500. It was after a huge rise the month before. And the expectation is we'll get a rise for the most recent month, probably around the 20,000 mark, according to the market. The participation rate was at 67. It was down a little bit last month and probably stays at 67. And the unemployment rate stays at a low 4.1%. So we still have a very low unemployment rate. So another one of those issues as far as the RBA is concerned. I would note that another central bank in our region had their meeting last week. That was the RBNZ. They were unchanged too, 3.25%. In fact, most of the key central banks have now moved towards not lowering interest rates any further. And that includes the Fed, the Bank of England. The last ECB meeting left the cash rate unchanged. RBNZ left the cash rate unchanged. Sure, they're all at different sorts of levels compared with us, but it's becoming more of a trend internationally rather than continuing to cut. In Europe last week, we had July Centex investor confidence. It lifted to plus 4.5 from plus 0.2. It was expected to be 1.1, so it's quite a significant lift in European investor sentiment. May retail sales, they fell, but not as much as expected. The market thought they might fall by 0.8%. They fell by 0.7%. They're still up 1.8% year on year. And the previous month was revised upwards from plus 0.1 to plus 0.3. So, not strong, but softish for the most recent month, but certainly not disastrous. And Europe this week, we've got some industrial production data. If anything, that's probably lifting a little bit. We've got ZEW economic sentiment. That will probably lift to about 37.8 from 35.3. And we've also got the May trade balance. Trade's going to be right in the crosshairs now. For somewhere like Europe, particularly after that 30% tariff announcement. And there are many inside the EU who want to retaliate. And, of course, what the US has said is, you retaliate, we retaliate again. So we will be watching these developments with some care. Obviously, it's a highly uncertain international economic outlook at the moment with the way in which policy is being run out of the United States.